Good morning, everyone. As I introduce myself, I'm Libby and I'm an adult child of an alcoholic and very pleased to be here. And I think Lawrence rang to telephone me probably about 2 months ago and asked me to share at this meeting. And, you know, I think I was in the shopping centre and I said, sure, couldn't wait to get off the phone, you know. And it was only probably about a few weeks later that I realised it was such an honour and a privilege to be asked to share in this fellowship. And and also thought, and you, I think you would identify with this. What will I say? I haven't got very good recovery. I haven't been working the steps lately. I'm writing my laundry list. I don't think I'm going to be good enough. And, you know, I've learnt, I suppose, in this fellowship to quieten that voice a little bit and to, you know, take a risk and kind of put myself out there and be as messy as I am and come as I are, or come as I am to the day. But I was also thinking, I was just sharing with the member that I think I came to a Unity Day at Leichhardt Town Hall a few years back, might have been maybe 4 years ago, and as was done this morning, the people were invited to read the literature, and a member got up and she started to read the 12 steps. And I think at about step 4 or 5, she choked up and she said, "I can't go on, I have to sit down." That was the most powerful share of the day for me, and I knew I was in the right place. Because what then proceeded to happen is we all just held the space. No one said a word. Someone just quietly got up, read steps 5 to 12. But what really struck me was that morning tea, I watched this woman. She wasn't carrying in the corner with shame or embarrassment, or she didn't run out feeling embarrassed about what she'd done. But she was speaking with people and laughing and generally just kind of, you know, in the moment. And I think back to that day. I can't remember much else of what happened that day, except I was nervous and I ran out at lunchtime and walked the streets and came back for the afternoon meeting. But I just remember thinking, I found the right place. You know, there's a place that will hold my fragile ones and my nervous and my shyness. And so to my little girl inside and to all the other little girls and boys here, you're most welcome. You know, we bring who we are, and I know that my little girl's really excited to be here, but she's also very nervous and a bit shaky, but knows that she will be held no matter what. And I suppose my journey into ACOA has been, it's probably been the most difficult thing. I used to think, I've been around 12-step recovery for over 25 years, and you know, if you'd asked me 6 or 7 years ago, I would have said the hardest thing I'd ever done was to give up alcohol. I'm probably sit here to say that one of the hardest things has been to stay in the recovery of adult children of alcoholics. So 12-step served me well in my recovery from my suffering from alcoholism, and ACOA helps me in my recovering from the suffering of living in an alcoholic or a family that has been impacted by alcoholism and family dysfunction, without a doubt. And I'm very grateful to have found, I suppose, the laundry list. And I remember at subsequent meetings, probably for the first 3 or 4 meetings, and I came via Al-Anon as well. I had some time in Al-Anon. Of course, I was miserable and I was lonely and I was never enough. And I found some good recovery in Al-Anon, but then was led to ACOA and really heard in the laundry list a description of how I was on the inside. And, you know, no matter how I looked on the outside and what I was achieving and what I was doing, there was a real kind of little girl inside that just never felt enough and never felt lovable and never felt that she held her own space and was always kind of, you know, running somewhere else to feel what was inside. And I think coming to ACOA, and also I've been doing a long time, got a long time working relationship with a therapist, I've kind of come to be really comfortable in my own skin, but not comfortable that I feel confident and together all the time. I'm just more deeply comfortable in not being together, more deeply comfortable in being nervous, and more deeply comfortable in being really messy. And And I had to do a lot of work around my family. And if you read the reading this morning, the ACOA reading, you know, that was me. You know, that's my experience, is abuse in my family. And I had to name it and call it out and not, you know, not shy away from that and not shy away from what the impact, why as a 60-year-old woman now, what that means for me in operating in my life. And for me, the reparenting kind of technique has been really powerful in speaking to my little girl, my teenage girl, and sometimes my 38-year-old woman. You know, she needs a good talking to. Working through the steps in a little group of women has been really powerful, and also working through the yellow book. So, you know, as a true adult child, I did the checklist of what I've done in program, what program work I've done. You know, I've done this, 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 and this. You know, I can tick all the boxes. But I suppose it's been the actual sharing, coming to meetings, either Zoom or face-to-face, and not being afraid to talk, to trust and to feel out loud. I would love you to think that I was really cool in my recovery right now as I sit here. I would love you to be really impressed with what I am saying. The only person that I have to be impressed by is myself. You know, the big person in me needs to look after the little people in me. And I can usually, when I'm trying to win friends or influence people, if I can kind of stop and have a reflect on what's actually going on in here, who am I trying to win and influence in here? And just that kind of whole change of mindset has been really quite powerful for me, and that God within. And that God within is my authentic self and my inner self that's true. And suffering has been a real part of my life. And I have found in ACOA not to hang around situations, places and things where I suffer. Pain, yes, but you've taught me how to hold my pain in a way that is okay. You know, I don't have to suffer with it. And no longer do I hang out with people who make me suffer or who I feel are suffering in response to. No one can make me do anything. So that together with feeling really safe, they're two things that I kind of build my life around at the moment. I have been given the grace to walk with my mum in her final years of her life, and I went back to live with her and had to do a whole lot of work. I was in the same room that I grew up in, move her into care, sit with her on a daily basis, step away from a big corporate job that I no longer felt I wanted to do. I could go on with the gifts of learning about myself, gifts that I have given myself, gifts that I've allowed for myself. But it's certainly been the journey of adult children of alcoholics that has helped me discover my inner true self, and that's very much aligned with a higher power and a God who I do not understand on a daily basis. And you would have heard that if you want to make God laugh, tell God your plans for the day, and she will have a great laugh, which has certainly been me. But you know, I think for me it's about speaking up when I'm struggling, you know, and not being afraid to be messy, and not being afraid to be teary, and not being afraid to not have the answers. And, you know, I was getting nervous today because I thought, oh, there's not many people here. I hope it's going to be a success. I hope that woman who stumbled through the 12 steps 4 years ago isn't here hearing this. But really, all I have to do is look after myself and keep coming back. So I think I'll leave it there. But thank you for asking me to share. And I'm going to hand over to Mark now.
Thanks, Libby. My name's Mark. I'm an adult child in recovery, and it's really lovely to be here. This is the first time.
Hey, Mark.
Hi. This is the first time I've actually spoken at a real face-to-face meeting. I came in on a regular basis to ACA in March 2020 with the, you know, the comfort and the benefit of Zoom. So I'm that black and white picture of a little kid in a pipe. That's me. And that was me when I was three, when we first came to Australia. I've come here via other fellowship as well and have a long history with 12 steps in my life. And I was at a meeting and it was packing down, and an ACA meeting was packing, it was starting up. And I noticed, I was with my friend Ed, and I noticed it. I noticed the laundry list, and it just, it resonated with me, like the language. There was just something about it that, I mean, it sort of spoke to some part of me that I'd kind of touched on, but hadn't really kind of gotten into, really kind of explored. And so I wanted to come back, but that was September, and it took me till March to get back, you know. And I live in the Blue Mountains, so, you know, it was easy to get distracted in my life. But anyway, my recovery journey started when I was quite young, and I always identified with the less than thing, not good enough. Even in the communities I moved in a recovery nature, I always felt that. And you know, even after some time in that and coming here, I really identified. I just really identified with, there were parts of me that still needed healing, you know, parts of me that were still hurting. And, I was pretty active in, with the sponsor and working program, and, we were writing on all sorts of subjects, not, you know, just addiction, but just like all sorts of things. In fact, the last set of steps I did before coming here was on death and dying. And because a lot of my friends were dying, you know, in recovery. I'm just trying to paint the picture of, like, I was a person who was open and engaged to the capability that I was, but there was still this feeling like, you know, this, you know, I had this feeling like I wasn't home, or I wasn't quite... I wasn't quite with me. And fuck, I work hard at it, you know. And came here and I heard the language, which right now I can't even find in my mind, but I just know what it felt like when I heard other ACAs sharing. And I just knew this is where I needed to be. And, you know, because of Zoom, I've been able to do, like, literally in the last couple of years, I've done, like, a meeting, if not two meetings a day on Zoom, you know. And, you know, I've gone through this 12 steps with a sponsor twice, and I'm nearly finished the laundry list workbook. I found a guy in America, Michael, and I've asked him, and he said yes, and we meet twice a week. And we read together, and we answer the questions together, and very grateful for that. Consequence of ACA recovery is I have a lot of feelings, mm-hmm. and they come up a lot. And in the laundry list workbook, there's a lot of reference to the game of disassociation. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was in therapy once 20 years ago, and the therapist caught me in it. My understanding is, oh, that happened once, but you know, my whole life has been in that. Experience.
You know, and sometimes it's helpful. Sometimes it works, you know. Sometimes it, you know, does make life sort of easier. But I think there's always a payback or a consequence of that is that, you know, it comes back later. You know, it always seems to be my experience that if I'm not dealing with it in the moment, I'll be dealing with it later, and it'll be heavier and it'll be more intense. So, you know, experience has taught me try and pay attention, try and fucking be in my body, you know, try and, you know, be with it, you know. And it was lovely to hear Libby talking about being, or what I heard, being okay in herself and all the parts that come with that. And that's refreshing to me because I have, you know, I do have a critical voice in my head, and my response to that has always been to be perfect, is to be good, to be the good recovering person, to be a good guy, you know, and I fucking work hard at that, you know, and I am that. I don't need to fucking work hard at it. I am that. But, you know, to allow myself to be messy, to allow myself to be just who I am, to have the feelings I have is, you know, and in, you know, like that promise about, you know, the ability to share intimacy will grow inside us, and that's something that I'm experiencing. It seems to be the main thing that I'm noticing. You know, the choices I make based on that seem to represent me, or I always understood that the 12 steps helped me kind of come back to myself in some way, you know. But of course, this ACA recovery is very much about honouring that part of me that was wounded as a child and that has, like, had its hands on the levers all the way through my life. And, you know, I didn't grow up in an alcoholic home. I grew up in a really dysfunctional home. And, you know, just for that identification, you know, both my parents were children of the Second World War, and my mother, you know, they were both Dutch. And, you know, my grandfather was in the Dutch cavalry, you know. My grandmother and my mother died just before the war, and, you know, my grandmother and my mother are Jewish. So, you know, so I grew up with a woman who was severely traumatised, who grew up, you know, who just had loss on top of loss. And, you know, my childhood experiences were just like jumping at shadows, just being terrified but not having an obvious, you know, I mean, my mum was pretty obvious, like she was pretty terrified, but, you know, it wasn't like it was directed at me. It was just something I experienced and grew up in, and you know, and I'm only kind of understanding now, like in my 50s, how that's impacted my life, you know, in a way that doesn't allow me to be me, you know. And I mean, really, that's... that's, you know, that's my simple... wish for myself and for the people around me. You know, the people that I have in my life are the people that are trying to do that too, that I see them trying to do that in their lives and will support me doing that in my life. Like, we support each other in that. And, you know, a friend of mine talks about fellowship like a life raft in the ocean, and you know, I feel so grateful that I have that, because for so long, and really not that long in my overall life, really not that long in my life, but there was a time where there was no life raft. There was no place to go. There was no safety. I mean, I found it in obliteration, in unconsciousness. That was the only safety I had until I got clean. And coming here, it's kind of a whole other, you know, like... I live in Australia. Fucking, you know, lucky's, you know, like, this is a safe place, but yet haven't felt that, you know. But I'm getting closer to that now, where, you know, people can do and say what they want to do and say around me, and I have a sense of safety in me, you know. It's just a sense, but it's developing and it's growing. So yeah, I'm very, I don't know what the hell have I said, but, you know, like, I have feelings that they're often a mixture of both the pain and the of my life experiences, but also the gratitude and love that I feel because of these rooms. You know, it's kind of a combination of both at the same time, nearly all the time, you know. And, so for the people who put this on, you know, for all the members that come, you know, whether it's online or here in person, it's, you know, I was really excited. I get annoyingly excited. You know, I barely sleep the night before. You know, if I'm going on a plane, I don't sleep. You know, but coming here today, I was pretty awake through the night, wanting to leave early, and, you know. And, you know, that, I like that part of me. That's a part of me that is very representative of myself that I do like. And I'm very grateful.
Hi, my name's Alec. I'm an adult child.
Hello.
Hi. You can hear me at the back? That's what I thought. All right, so where to start? I've got 10 minutes. That's what I've been thinking since I've got 10 minutes. Where do you start? All right, so I was in other fellowship before for about 16 years or so. Still am. And I found, while I was in it, that I got over the substance abuse pretty quick, but then I was still left with this feeling inside, and I'd noticed that the feeling, to me, it almost presented itself as a metaphor without me even not thinking about it. It was like I'd get this feeling of a little child outside the front door, like with a shitty nappy, you know, to put it in that context, that I was always, it was just like, hello. Can you let me in or whatever? And I just ignore it. I could just feel myself ignoring the feeling, and doing other things, I suppose, to get past it. But it dawned on me that it was loneliness, you know, as well for me. I'd see it as loneliness or that small child outside the door. And I got into this thing where I get up when I feel it, and, you know, properly get up and go to the door and open the door and go, come in. And as soon as I'd make that dynamic action to do it, I'd get this relief from it, you know. And, you know, to me, the relief is just the peace that would come, because that's what I was searching for. I mean, I got into the first fellowship I got into was because I'd gone through a relationship breakup. Every growth step that I've ever had has come from a relationship breaking up and me having to get over it, you know. And I just noticed that I go up a notch of in awareness each time, but I noticed that when it would break up, I would land straight back in the same place. I'd land back in that place of pain and then suffering, because I would try to get away from the pain, right? And each time it would do it in a different way, so that it would, what would you say? So it would block me sort of from doing the same thing, like, again, to recover from it. Like, when I was younger, my first breakups, I would get through. I remember having psychedelics, right? I know this might not be appropriate, but I remember having them psychedelics, but it did something where it pulled away all my understanding of what I thought I was. It took away all my ideas for a brief period of 12 hours, and I had an epiphany of it. You know, I just was, wow. You know, it lifted it, took it away. I found the relief, and the thing I was upset about just fell away. But then I tried to do it again with the second one. It wouldn't work. So I can't have the same epiphany twice. And so on and so forth, until I got to this last relationship I was in for 10 years, and it broke up. And the same kind of spectre or ghost came back to haunt me again. And I was, again, just working. And this fella come to me, and I'd seen him at work, because I'm not going to mention my profession. But I'd seen him there, and he was always, well, I would be doing a certain thing, a posture, and he'd be on his phone, like, and I'd go, you all right, you know, and I'd say, okay, and he'd say, oh, I'm just going through it, and I'd say, okay, and then I talked to him afterwards, and he said, oh, I'm going through a relationship breakup, but I've been going to ACOA, and I said, oh, what's that, and blah, 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 he told me, and I went, oh, I've come now after class, like, so I went with him, and as soon as I got in there, it was, they read the laundry list trait, and that 12th trait, you know, abandonment issues, That was it, you know, and I knew it was straight away, it resonated with me, and that's what I have, abandonment issues. And from growing up with sick people who were never there for me emotionally. But it was also that, you know, I recognised then that that the people I'd grown up with, they'd passed on their emotional bodies to me in some way. And I had this thing which I thought was really important, which was really interesting for me, that when you're a kid, you listen to the sounds that you hear around you. Now, you don't understand, as a baby, I'm not understanding English. You know, it's pre-verb, you're just understanding tones and, you know, softness. And I could hear that when I grew up, it was always, and then, and that kind of stuff. It was never, you know, it was an off and on of that. It was just always harsh and snidey, and like snides and dark, like kind of dark metaphors that were coming across in the tone. And you reckon that as a kid, when you're first forming your emotional body, that those sounds through the laryngeal, they call it the laryngeal emotional muscle, it has an effect where the sounds that you hear create your emotional responses. Anyway, so I learned that. So to free myself from it, I had to start to do the steps. So again, I'll get onto that. So I started doing the yellow ACA workbook, which I found was brilliant. And again, each step for me showed me that it's taking something away. You know, the first bit is like my recognizing my life's become unmanageable, and that I start to recognize in step two that a power greater than myself will restore me to sanity, or clarity, as it said. So I started praying. You know, I started praying, and I'd do that like, you know, the kid at the end of the bed on the knees like that. I'd do it and go, okay, that's what you do. I'd do that one. And sure enough, things would come along, like people would come along to me and say, within days, you know, and initially I used to pray for the relationship to come back together so I didn't have to feel this pain. And I kept, and again, I knew it wasn't right, but I was still manipulating and trying to control the situation. And so then I just got to this point where, okay, I'll pray for the obsession and compulsion to go, because that's what I recognised was happening. So I asked for that to go. Please lift this obsession and compulsion from me. I give it to you. I'll take it away, whatever it is. Anyway, within a day or two, someone came along with the ho-ho-pono-pono thing. You know, I only remembered it because it went ho-ho, like ho-ho. And I remember doing it for 2 days, and it was just saying four sayings of, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And initially it was just me saying a mantra because I knew that it was, well, I felt that there would be some relief from this never-ending pain. So I said it, and I started to get right into it, you know, and I would be saying it, I'm sorry, please forgive me, like with that kind of expression, and then go. And then I get these little moments of, like, relief, and I go, thank you. And then I go, I love you, you know, and it would start to move like that. And it really started to feel, it dawned on me that, it dawned on me that feeling was the way in. So this was the thing for me. It was about getting out of my thoughts and into my feelings. But the feelings hold a lot of pain. So to me, I noticed that I would console myself with thinking my way out of stuff. And like in the Big Red Book, how it talks about you can't reason yourself into a pain-free recovery. So it suggests, and I think it's kind of trying to steer me towards the feelings as my way out, but by going in, you know, like with the Dante's Inferno, the way out of hell was to go into it. So I had to stop and make the counterintuitive move of shifting my attention from what's out there, you lot, and turn it like, and I always see it like having a flashlight. So I had to somehow, my attention's out there like a flashlight shining on everything. And then somehow I had to stop for a minute and allow my attention to turn back, to inquire to its root, to its source, from where does that light that I'm shining out there come from, right? And it takes me back into my body. But the feelings of grief were the most localized feeling I could have. You know, it'd be like if I'm coming into the harbour, there's a light to guide me into the harbour on a dark night. So the feeling for me was like that light, and it started, and so I go in with my attention onto it and looking for it, not with my eyes, not but with my awareness, with my senses. So I turn my sense into to seeking the feeling. And when, as soon as I do it, you know, I go into it, and it seems to diminish pretty quickly. As soon as I turn my attention into the feeling, it seems to dissipate. And then what I noticed was that there's nothing left then. And that, I noticed, can also be quite frightening for my mind, because it doesn't know itself outside of its idea of its past, you know, its childhood memories. And then you take yourself back through the root of the, you know, of your childhood memories, back into the feelings. And hang on, because I'm just trying to get myself together here as well. Because as I'm saying it, I'm doing it, and then I just leave myself blank, if you get what I mean. So when I go into that place, I'm left with nothing, and it brings me into this present moment here now with you lot, and I've just got this emptiness, and it's a complete emptiness, and there's nothing to do here but be. So it brings me back to being, and then that made me aware that this is who I've always been. It was just that, just time. Okay, thank you. I've got to kind of wrap it up a bit. Right, excellent. So it brought me back into being. And that's who I recognize I truly am, is just this being, as I recognize that all you lot out there are the same thing. That we've just, I've noticed that we've all just grown up from different parts of the world. The people that brought us up have given us scripts, as you brought into the family. Here's the script, this is the tone, this is the narrative that you speak, and this is how you identify. You identify with this character that we're giving you, you know, the family will give you this character. Be like I've said before on there, that, you know, it's been like someone's given me the role of Hamlet. I'm born into Hamlet's family, they give me the role of Hamlet. Alas, poor Yorick, and I go out speaking like that, and then I forget that I'm just this guy who got a job acting as Hamlet. And so it allows me to put down that character of Alec, let's say. I just call myself, I put down Alec and come back to being. And the most simple peace and happiness exists within myself. And I start to notice, and I'll wrap up on this, I start to notice that out there, it starts to reflect what's happening here. And that's all that I've ever seen happen, is that even when it was miserable, it was just showing me, this is you out here, Al. This is what's happening inside you. It's showing you that. So now when I come back to that peace, everything flows really well. I was lost for a minute up there when I got off the train. I came up here and I thought, oh, I'll just walk down that escalator and see if someone will tell me where Harold Park is or where the community centre is. And I got to the bottom of the escalator, I looked at my phone, and there it was, you know, and I was like, I didn't even have to do anything. It was just did it. Anyway, thanks for letting me share, and thanks for the meeting, everyone.